This morning, of course, we started a couple new ministries as far as Sunday school, and very excited about that. And you know, Sunday school is a good time to come and learn the Word of God even a little bit more than perhaps just coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or what have you, but just that extra time, if you will. I want to encourage you to come. We started, of course, the first and third grade girls class, and then we also started a faithful couples class. That's not just for married couples, it's for couples in general, if you will. And I just want you to, Brother Joe and Miss Michelle Rosa are teaching that, and I've asked them, I've instructed them, and I've given them some topics that I'd like to see them teach on. And so, you know, and I know they start out with some snacks and different things, but just want you to be a part. And then, of course, we have our adult auditorium class up here. I teach that up here. And of course, and I just want to emphasize, 9:45 we start. We have an opening up here. It's just really good to see the kids here, and we sing songs, and the preacher, myself, I lose myself a little bit, if you will, but sing and different things. But just to kind of give you a little bit of food for thought. Boy, it's just nothing like just being a part of the church, and just want to encourage you in some of these areas. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read two verses, so let's stand as we do so. We're going to read verses 9 and 10. 9 and 10. This was a text I used, of course, I know last Sunday night. I will not be preaching the same message, but there's a thought here that I feel like I must preach. So I would like to have you give me a good hearing this morning. My mind's not real clear. I'll admit I feel a little stuffed up today. I've battled a little sore throat, different things like that. So just bear with me, but just kind of give me your attention, if you will. Let's read verses 9 and 10 together. Verses 9 and 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 and 10 together. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for this time, Lord. And I ask you this morning to fill thy servant with your power. I pray, God, you give me clarity of mind, give me eloquence of speech, Father, I just pray, God, that you'll open our hearts to the preaching of your word now. Just bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There we are. I want to speak to you this morning on ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. Last Sunday night, I preached from the text 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. And the last part of that scripture, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. But this morning I want to just preach to you a little while on ye are God's building. Paul, of course, is writing to the church at Corinth. And to remind you that the church at Corinth was a very divided church. They were divisive. There was some problems in the church, if you will. They were not separated. They were carnal, but they were a saved group. And, of course, this church was started by Paul. And then verse 9 reads that we are God's building. As God's building, we need to be careful how and what is built on this building. And I was very clear on that last Sunday night. I don't want to be too repetitious. But and then verse 10 says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Ephesians chapter 10, chapter 2, verse 10, the first part of that verse says that we are his workmanship. All right, the Bible says that we are the work of God, if you will. When Jesus comes in and lives inside you at salvation, the Bible says also in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. When Jesus moved in, when we realize that we're sinners, realize there's a price on sin, that Jesus, he paid that price, Jesus became the foundation of our life. And these scriptures teach that we are God's. We are his building, and we ought to let him, okay, if you will, we ought to let him do the building in our life. By the way, he does a whole lot better job, a whole lot better than I could do, okay? And we ought to let God have first place. We ought to let God have rule and reign. We ought to let God, if you will, be king in our life, okay? So ye are God's building. The Bible says that we are the building of God, okay? When I think of a builder, A builder is very careful on the landscape that he builds on. He goes out and scopes the land, if you will, and makes sure that the land is adequate and of course, lays the foundation. And, of course, Jesus in this picture here is that foundation. Now, and I had that picture of that Jenga game the other night here as a visual aid, but Jesus is that foundation. Now, the Bible says in verse 10, now we need to be careful how we build upon that foundation. Just to give you a foundation for my message here. We are his workmanship. We ought to allow him, if you will. We are likened in Isaiah. We are likened to clay in a potter's hand. You know, he wants to make us, if you will, and to mold us to be what he wants us to be. You know, when we got saved, it's not our will, okay? Our will should have been gone. When we got saved, we did our own thing. We thought our own ways. We wanted to be what we wanted to be. But the truth of the matter is, when we got saved, Jesus comes in, he lives, and you become a new creature, the Bible says. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And at that time, Jesus, he wants to start really working on you so that you can become the kind of vessel that he wants you to be. Now, oftentimes when you allow this, okay, and we ought to allow this. Now, there are some Christian folks, the Bible says also in this same passage that there are some that will be just saved so as by fire. Okay, some will go ahead. I mean, they've been saved, if you will, and that's just about it. They never grew. They never allowed God, if you will, Jesus, to go ahead and make them and mold them and be what they want us to be. You know what? If you allow Jesus to make you and be what you have him to be, yes, there's going to be some weeding away. Okay, there's going to be some things that he's got to go ahead and pick at and say, hey, you know what, this can't be here in your life. For me to go ahead and make you to be the kind of vessel that I want you to be, you know, he's got to go ahead and he'll have to pick off some things, and he'll have to make you and mold you and weed away some things, if you will. God wants to do the building in our lives. But oftentimes our flesh, okay, I'm talking to Christians right now, but oftentimes our flesh, pride gets in the way and causes us to feel that we can do it better. Sometimes we don't always like the hand, if you will, that God has dealt us, so to speak. We don't always like it, you know, and the Bible says that we're going to have thorns and thistles in our life. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be mountaintops. There's going to be valleys. The Bible teaches that we're going to have our struggles. But sometimes if we're not careful as Christians, God wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. But if we're not careful as Christians, our flesh will get in the way. In Galatians, the Bible says that the flesh and the spirit war against each other, okay? And the Holy Spirit will war against the flesh. And if we go ahead and feed the flesh more, that's the one that's going to go ahead and win. Now, if we feed the Holy Spirit more, that's the one who's going to win. You know, they battle against each other. And we as Christians, we all, if we allow God to go ahead and make us, if we allow God to go ahead and mold us, then we'll become what we ought to be. But our flesh, sometimes we get weak. Sometimes we feel we can do it better. Sometimes our pride gets in the way. And even we as Christians can fall in the rut of us, you know what, God, let me try it my way for a little while. The foundation at salvation, of course, is laid at Jesus Christ. And at first, okay, when you become a baby Christian, it's exciting. Go back for a minute. Go back to that time when you realize that you're a sinner. Go back to that time when you realize that there's a price on sin, and that Jesus, and thank God, God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. Go back to that time. Boy, it's a pleasant time when you think about it. When you realize you're a sinner, and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and because he moved into your heart, boy, as a result, you're going to have heaven one day when you die. Praise the Lord for that, and praise the Lord that he paid that price. But the truth of the matter is, when we first get saved, there is an excitement there. You know, there's an excitement there. There is a certain joy. And I remember when I got saved.